You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
These guys are ridiculous. These guys are ridiculous.
Now. How about them damn Celtics?
And we are back with another episode of How About Them Celtics. Sam and I are here recording on Friday, November 18th, a little while after the Celtics took down the New Orleans Pelicans for their ninth win in a row. We haven't spoken to you guys since after the Thunder game, so we've got the Hawks and the Pelicans game to cover today. But before we get into that, I did want to give a shout out to one of our listeners who messaged our podcast Twitter account, which if you're not following, shameless plug, How About Them C's on Twitter, check it out. But Wilson, shout out to Wilson who messaged me about my ear, which I did get fixed today. Wilson, if you're listening,
all right,
ear is all fixed. And Sam, just so you know, Wilson told me not to stick a Q-tip in my ear, which I told you on the show that you shouldn't do.
I'm a big fan of the Q-tip.
When I went to urgent care to get it fixed, they also said, do not stick a Q-tip in your
ear. Oh, I know they tell you not to do it, but I don't know what else. I'm not going to buy a tool specifically for that.
Like these? I've got ear cleaners. I bought these. They didn't work.
What are they supposed to do? What are they? What's it different says, about those than a Q-tip?
I think there is there are like grooves and little holes in these, so it doesn't push it back as much. Like Q-tip just jams it back. These, I think, I don't know, they're bendable. It says removes wax, exfoliates, and bendable. I don't know. I don't think you should stick anything in your ear. So I think these are also a sham a little bit. But yeah, got it all cleared out. I'm good. I got a bunch of medication. I got Flonase for my stuffy nose, because if you've been a fan of the show for a long time, you know half the time I'm sniffling because it happens. Got Claritin. Got some Debrox for my ears. My own ear, nose, and throat self-diagnoses, you know. But yeah, thank you, Wilson, for the kind message. Ears are fresh and clean now. We can hear everything.
Was it a hassle at all to go in there and wait? Interesting characters?
No, it was pretty normal. Made an appointment. Got in and out within an hour, which is pretty good for a doctor's appointment. It's weird though, because they like I don't know if you had your ears flushed out ever. This is like the second time it's happened, because like,
no,
the wax. But they basically take like water and hydrogen peroxide is what I think it is, and they take one of these big syringes and they just flush your ear with a ton of pressure. And so it's like the only way I can describe it is like it's uncomfortable, but it's satisfying at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't feel good, but like it also feels good at the same time, because I know it's fixing it and I know it's like flushing everything out. So it's like, it's uncomfortable a little bit, but like I enjoy it because it's like cleansing my ears. And I mean, I can hear again. So that was also a plus.
Did you turn down the volume on all your stuff? Did you come back and say, oh my God, this is so loud?
No. I think I was good, because I could still hear you out of this ear. So like if I turn the volume way up, then it would be way too loud in this ear. So. But yeah, ears are fine. I am back normal. Thank you to Wilson for checking in. Appreciate you for the advice and for listening to the show. Hopefully,
Wilson, who had me driving and attempting to log into the account on my phone, which I hadn't logged into since it was Bannertown. So it was a huge hassle for me to get into this account, because I tried to log in with the information with the How About Them C's name, and it said, you're already logged into this account. And then it would take me to where the username was Bannertown, and I'd put the password in and it would say this account doesn't exist.
Brutal.
And then I would go into my settings and it would ask me to verify the account.
Well, you didn't have to do it while you were driving.
Well, I wanted to know. You said, look at the messages. I said, oh, this must be good. Which it was.
Just funny.
I threw my head back laughing when I read it.
Legend Wilson caring about me. I appreciate
good guy
it.
Wilson. Now I need to have some medical issue. Does anyone know about knees?
Your knees are busted?
They're not busted, but they're just more sore than they probably I would like them to be.
Fair. I mean, I was telling Sam, I went to play basketball down in Rhode Island with Sam. I got Steph Curry ankles, man. I am disproportionate. My upper half is large, but I've got skinny legs, so my ankles cannot really handle running up back and forth. Sam was out. Sam was lapping me on the court. Put it that way. I stood back, played defense, and
our team was lapping everybody.
I was fine with it because you guys scored by the time I got to half court. I was there to reset the offense at the top of the key if need be. But I played my defense. I got my rebounds and I contributed that way.
Well, so you play. Yeah, you play the correct way for somebody that's not going to run. There are people that'll just stay up on offense and then you're left mm-hmm. hanging on defense. No, Jack, a great team player.
Yes, sir.
He always. Is the anchor, had a couple nice blocks.
I love the blocks.
Very impressive on the glass, taking rebounds off some aggressive fellows down there.
Hey,
I'm not into that. I don't like going down there.
That's what I enjoy because like, I can't shoot. I made a three, but I can't shoot. Very inconsistent. I'm not a scorer and I'm not fast enough. So if I can anchor the paint, grab the boards and do the dirty work, I'm happy with those contributions. We'll have an update on basketball. I think we're playing again Sunday. So
we'll play in Sunday. We pod yeah. again sometime midweek.
We just did a schedule. We pod again Wednesday. So you'll hear about our Sunday basketball on Thursday. That's
on Thanksgiving. As you drive to wherever you may be going, you can listen to Jack and I and we can celebrate the day with you.
Absolutely. There you go. There you go.
And if
all
you're
right.
from another country, then it's just Thursday.
Hey, then that's fine. Even more the reason for you to listen to us talk. So all right. So we got a couple games. We can recap both of them briefly and then get into some of the storylines going on. We can talk about Celtics Hawks first because I feel like there's not much to talk about. Celtics absolutely stomped the Hawks. Was never a close game. I'll look in here for the box score because I forget what it was. I think it was something like
126-101.
126-101. Sam got it on the dot. Just kind of an all-around performance. Tatum didn't play well, which we're going to talk about a little later. Jaylen Brown didn't have a particularly great game. I mean, he had 22, which is solid, but he didn't put up 30 or anything. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different Celtics scored 14+. So it was a great all-around performance. The Hawks couldn't really keep up. And the Celtics kind of dominated from start to finish. It was exactly what you want from a Celtics win. I'm sure Sam
strong
was,
showing from the bench.
Beaming. Yes. Yes. 100%.
Cornett, 15 points. Hauser, Pritchard both made 4 threes or more. Mm-hmm. I think they both made 4. Yep. All the white boys that looked like they just got pulled off the street all had a big game in the ATL.
Wait, did you say? Oh, wait. Sorry. I was looking at the wrong. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was huge. The bench was phenomenal. 3-point shooting has been kind of a constant for the Celtics this season, much to Sam's dismay. Not a fan
this
of the
game
threes.
Against the Pelicans. Wait till you hear me about this one.
All right, well, let's just jump into that because I mean, there's not much else to say about the Hawks game. Again, we can talk about some storylines, but Celtics, as we're recording this, they played the Pelicans tonight. As you guys are listening to this, in the past couple days, took down the Pelicans 117-109. They got off to a hot start. Sam tweeted out after they started to blow the lead, it was looking like the Bulls game. They were up by a lot early.
Felt
on.
Like
they
it.
Started to, they started to close down. I thought it was different because I think in the Bulls game they resorted to some ISO shots. I was thinking of the word. Like a lot of dribble, shoot. And I think they did that a little bit later on in the game, but I feel like they were still getting most of the threes they were taking. I was happy with. They just got a little cold, but they did bring it back. They got the win. The turnovers were a huge issue, which we can talk about as well, but I'll let you do your little rant about the Pels game first.
Yeah. So they came out red hot, which is always a red flag for me because when the Celtics come out hot, they get comfortable. They like to shoot threes, yeah. And the quickest way to give up a lead is to either turn the ball over, check, or chuck up a bunch of threes, check, and not make the defense work. I complain about it all the time on this show. They started off, I want to say, like 14 of 26. How many threes did they finish
very
the game
hot.
With, Jack?
Against the Pelicans, they shot 46 threes.
And they made?
20.
Okay, so they were 6 of the next 20 from three.
Yeah. In the first half, they shot 14 of 27. In the second half, they shot 6 of 19.
Spectacular.
So, there you go.
However, I don't think they lost a quarter. Did they lose a quarter? They lose the fourth quarter? They lost the fourth
take
quarter.
A look.
They did.
Summary. Yeah. They lost by 3. So it was close regardless. But yes, they did. They lost the second quarter too.
Did they?
Yeah, they won the first quarter 40-25.
Lost. Oh, the that's right. They were up 15. I thought they were up like seven at the end, at the end of the second quarter. First quarter. They
lost the second quarter by five. Won this third quarter by one. Lost the fourth quarter by three. So, I mean, good thing they got after that hot start because they didn't really play very well offensively the rest of the game. Their defense played pretty well. I was happy with their defensive performance. But the offense definitely did slow down, which is concerning. But, I mean, overall, it was still a good offensive game because of how hot they were in the first. So. Overall, a good game. Let's talk about those turnovers, though, because the turnovers were not fun to watch. And they almost cost them the game. The big thing for me is, and I think Scal said this on the broadcast, and I know Joe Mazzulla has talked about it as well. When you're playing turnover free basketball, your offense, or excuse me, your defense has time to get set, and that improves your defense. When you're turning the ball over a lot, the other team is getting out in transition, scoring a lot, and your defense looks worse, and you're scrambling around. And I think that's when the Celtics are at their best, when they're playing turnover free basketball. And Joe Mazzulla said, John Corrales asked him this question. Basically, he was saying nothing good happens when you pass up the first shot. And he corrected himself, when you pass up the first open shot, right? Because if you pass up that first open look, then you get into an offense. And if you don't get another look, you're going to scramble and you're more likely to turn the ball over, right? And so I think that's why Joe Mazzulla prefers the quick offense, because it sort of mitigates the turnovers. And in turn, when you're not turning the ball over, your defense plays well. Now, there are obviously some flaws. If you shoot an early shot, it bounces off the rim really far and they get out in transition really quick. But I feel like it's more dangerous to turn the ball over than it is to take an early look and then have to get back quickly. You know what I'm saying? So I think the turnovers tonight were not an issue of passing up looks. I think a lot of it was, I mean, I can point to two people. It was Jaylen Brown had six turnovers, and I thought Malcolm Brogdon had a bigger turnover game. That's because Jaylen Brown had six turnovers in the second half, which is why I was off there. He had seven on the game. And then kind of everybody was just getting lost in this log. Everyone that touched the floor against the Pelicans outside of Luke Kornet and Peyton Pritchard had a turnover. Like the whole team was just getting sloppy. They weren't crashing the glass at times. It just kind of looked like they were getting out of sorts. But Jaylen Brown was the real
finals.
Exactly. And Jaylen Brown was the big culprit, who we can talk about. But
again, yeah, felt like I was watching the finals.
Yeah. Turnovers were rough, though. What do you make of the turnovers? And we can talk about Jaylen Brown specifically in a little bit, but like turnovers, what do you think of?
Well, the good thing is this isn't a consistent thing for this team. We haven't been on this podcast. We haven't been on the pregames complaining about turnovers so far this season, which is great. We saw really poor defense to start the season. That looks like it's on the up and up. But again, as far as the turnovers go, it doesn't seem like a consistent thing. Jaylen Brown, as an individual, has been less careless so far this year. He has seemed like he's more under control, and his handle seems a little bit tighter, and he's getting to the basket with ease. Even tonight, he had a couple of real good drives. There was one that he missed the layup, and on the broadcast, Scal was arguing he might have got fouled. It was like a really great drive. He was in transition, read the defense. It parted like the Red Sea for him, and he just got right to the rim, right to his right hand. No problem there. Another great fast break. Horford to Brown, back to Horford, was a great run. Ended with that big Al dunk, who was great again tonight. Him and Derek White both dropping threes, not missing in the first half at all. I mean, what a night from those guys. But the turnovers, just careless. I mean, it doesn't help that New Orleans is a gritty team that has a good defense.
Herb Jones, kind of getting in there.
Alvarado, those guys are pests. And you saw Alvarado get him a couple times, especially down the stretch. He was a big key why that game was so close. He was fired up. Good player. Would be a good Celtic. Not that they need him. Definitely don't need him. Enough guards.
I agree. Turnovers haven't been as big an issue this year. Jaylen Brown is actually the only Celtic averaging more than three turnovers a game. 3.3. Jason Tatum sitting at 2.4. Brogdon 1.9, Smart 1.6. I'm going to cough 1 second.
He coughed. You might not see it if you're listening, but if you're watching, you saw it.
Watch on YouTube. There's something sneaking up there that was not going to be quelled for long. But yeah, Celtics are averaging the fourth least turnovers in the NBA. So they have the fourth best number in the league, only averaging 13.3 turnovers a game, which is great considering where they were last year. Probably ideally want to be around that 12 to 14 range. I mean, ideally you want to be at zero, but that's not a realistic mark to shoot for. So,
and another thing, tonight, a lot of turnovers, no Marcus Smart. That could be a there factor. Your starting point guard that averages 7 assists and only 1.6 turnovers, not in the game. You were relying on other guys to distribute the ball. Not that that's always a problem. Tatum's done a good job in the two games.
Derek White did a good job.
Derek White was good. He was excellent shooting again. Even Jaylen Brown had a lot of assists tonight. He just turned it over a bunch in the second half. But early in the game, he was finding guys out from three, like, almost every time he drove. He was doing a great job at taking what was given to him.
Absolutely. And the biggest thing to note when we're talking about turnovers is the Celtics won by how many points? What was the final score?
They won by 8.
7. They won by 8 points, yeah.
Pelicans also, how about the Pelicans fouling when the game was clearly out of
hand? Yeah, that was lame. That was lame, but
sorry.
No, you're good. What I was saying is 24 of the Pelicans' points were fast break points. There are the turnovers for you. They had 15 fast break opportunities. They scored on 10 of them. Like, it was very clear that the Celtics were throwing the game away with the turnovers. They fought through it, but it was just over dribbling. Like, they were getting into the paint. They were playing panicked. They were rushing things, but I think it's important that they play fast. But when they're in the half court, they can't rush things. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can't rush things when they're trying to get into their sets. So I'm glad they turned it around and they figured it out, but the turnovers were definitely an issue. All right, let's talk Jaylen Brown, because you touched on it with the turnovers thing. Jaylen Brown put up good numbers against the Hawks and against the Pelicans. Against the Hawks, he had 22 points, 5 rebounds, no assists, but he had 2 steals. And then against the Pelicans, he had a much more well-rounded game. He led the team in scoring with 27, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists and 2 steals. But against the Pelicans, and if you look back a couple games against the Thunder, I believe it was, there have been times where it feels like he's just not playing the best basketball in terms of, like, for the team. Like, in the first quarter, I guarantee you Jaylen Brown averages the least passes in the NBA, or at least it feels like it. Like, Jaylen Brown in the first quarter keeps the ball, he shoots a lot, and that usually leads to, like, him scoring a lot of points because he's a pretty good first quarter scorer, but like he's just very unwilling to pass the ball at times. And 7 assists is fine for one thing, but in the first quarter never passes. And if he's flat, then the Celtics team will be flat. And it just feels like he is reluctant to give up the basketball at times. Sam's been battling internet issues all night.
Plugged in the ethernet. I did it. I did what they told me to do in the chat before the game.
Brutal. The passing with Jaylen Brown, like, the assists are one thing, but he doesn't like the pass, it feels like. You know what I'm saying? Especially in that first quarter, which is what I was saying while you were frozen.
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
I said Jaylen Brown doesn't like to pass in the first quarter.
No, and he had it going today, so it was okay.
I was saying in the grand scheme of things that it's like, it'll either kill you or it'll help you, because if he's not hot, then the whole offense will be dead because he doesn't pass the ball. And I think that's where a lot of the issues with Jaylen Brown come, is just his, and he's good. Like you said, in the Pelicans game, he shot well, but like, I feel like a lot of the problems with Jaylen Brown come from him not passing.
Well, I don't know if that's completely true, at least in the first quarter, because I feel like he's really great in the first quarter a lot. He is consistently coming out hot. He hasn't always done it lately. There have been a few games where he's been cold. He wasn't great against Atlanta. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. Might not have been great in the first Detroit game.
I can't remember. I just know the Thunder game was rough.
Or OKC. One of them.
I think OKC was rough, yeah.
But in that case, he's not looking to pass. You're right. Because that's his mindset, is to go out and see if he can get going. When he doesn't have it, he needs to realize it and fall back. I think that's a very fair point. But also, I don't know if it's reflecting, obviously, overall, because they're winning games.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
in the first quarter in particular, I don't remember them getting off to a lot of slow starts. Did they really start slow against OKC? I don't remember. I don't remember if they were super slow. I know they were down in that game for a lot of the game, but I don't know if in the first quarter that they were getting killed.
The OKC game, let's check the box score.
Celtics and it felt like when they were, it was because of the defense.
Yeah. Celtics Thunder box score first quarter. Loading here, sorry. That's Celtics fine. Lost the first quarter 35-32. Jalen shot 5 of 7, so he was hot, had 12 points.
He was hot, but again, that's the defense. 35 points to the Thunder is not good.
Yes. I don't know. It's just at times it feels like Jalen Brown, and I mean, you saw it tonight with his 7 turnovers.
I don't disagree. Mm-hmm. It's just weird. The first quarter doesn't seem to be the problem. I feel like there are just stretches in the game where he doesn't know when to fall back.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want this like coming across as I'm like picking on Jalen Brown.
We have. Jack traditionally does not like Jalen.
Okay, let's not start this narrative. But I remember I was going to say this. I wrote an article for Celtics Blog a while ago, like about him struggling. And then it came out that he like was still hurt, and I didn't know that obviously when I wrote it. And then everyone was coming for me. Everyone was like, "Unfollow Celtics Blog, like this idiots." I'm like, guys, you got to calm down. But no, Jalen is really good. He's having a good season. He's shooting pretty efficiently, and like you said earlier, he's getting to the rack much easier and much more consistently than last year. He's even shooting pretty well from three. He gives you some.
And he had a slow start.
He did.
Started slow from three.
He did. So he's bringing it back, but he just gets caught up dribbling too much. And as much as the handle has improved, it's not to the point where he can successfully dribble through traffic consistently, right? Like he'll lose the ball on the drive. And that's where a lot of his turnovers came. Like Jalen Brown doesn't have as many errant passes turnovers. There are a lot of him just losing the ball while he's dribbling, which is what we saw in the finals. And that's where most of them, I mean, we could watch the tape, but that's where I remember seeing most of them against the Pelicans in the win. But
well, that's one of the things I was pleased with today is that early in the game, he was dishing the ball. He's losing the ball, like you say, when he goes into traffic and he doesn't know when to stop. When he's seeing two guys and going into a crowd, he'll get stripped. Today against the Pelicans, during parts of the game, obviously he had 6 turnovers in the second half, so take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
He was making the right read, and he was finding the guys for three, and it helped that Al Horford and Derek White were red hot at the beginning of the game and throughout, really. I mean, they never really fell off. He had reliable shooters. He was just dishing, taking what the defense gave him.
Yeah, and like you said, he did get off to a good start. 5 of his 7 turnovers were in the first half. He had 2 in the second half. I'm watching some of the turnovers now. One of them was that. Yes, sorry. 5 of his 7 assists were in the first half. 2 of his assists were in the second half, but 6 of his turnovers were in the second half. I'm watching them now. The first one was, remember that behind the back, like he was trying to save the ball and he threw it away. Yes. That counted as one. So that, you know, it wasn't really it. The next two, him losing the ball, him trying to make a pass because he got stopped on a drive, you know, him dribbling too much in traffic again. Like a lot of them are just him trying to dribble and he's getting caught up and he's looking at the rim instead of looking at his dribble, stuff like that. And he's just not, his handle has never been there, like, consistently. It's better this year. It's a lot better this year. But this was kind of like, this Pelicans game was kind of like a have you ever seen That's So Raven? It was like a past.
Flashback?
Yeah,
she flashback. Sees the future.
I know. It wasn't a good analogy, but you know what I'm saying. It was like a flashback.
There's like a million shows that do flashbacks. All right.
I couldn't think of the word flashback, so I was trying to think on the fly, and it didn't work.
Never seen, like, Lost? And they all like remember before their plane crashed and they're on this island.
Never seen Lost.
I haven't seen all of it. I've seen enough of it. But
well, Sam and I, before we were recording, we were kind of talking about how if you look at the box score, Jalen Brown's games look really good. Mm-hmm. But like if you watch it, there are a bunch of these little things that like, I mean, like if he cleaned up his handle and his turnovers, like he'd be all NBA every season. Right?
It's just
like,
the read the room thing. It's just the timing of it. It really is. Like, you saw the Pelicans storm back into this game multiple times. Mm-hmm. One of the times, I'm sure he was on the floor because it was late in that third quarter when the Celtics were up 18, 19 points, whatever it was.
And they scored most of their points off turnovers.
And it was a bunch of turnovers. It was fast breaks. And before you knew it, that lead was down to 4 or something like that. It was not what you wanted to see. I did take insurance, so I mean, I wasn't thrilled. I obviously want them to win. But I was like, all right, I'm covered. Didn't get the best odds, but I got better odds than I would have gotten the first half when I thought about it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But yeah, Jaylen Brown, he's been having a good season. The other thing is, and this was the big thing from the OKC game. I got mixed up with the poor shooting. His defense has been suspect at times this season. Like, he's getting beat off the ball.
The OKC.
Like, off and on the ball. Like, he was getting blown by Aaron Wiggins was running behind him in that OKC game. All these players were just going back and forth. But I didn't notice it as much during the game against the Pelicans. And that's in part because I just think the defense is looking a lot better this season. I mean, I noticed a noticeable improvement against the Pelicans. I've been noticing it recently. They threw up a graphic on the broadcast saying over the past six games or so, they've been a top five defense in the league.
Yeah, just look at the stats. I'll go better. On.
Please do. Know, I'll do it. Please do. Yeah, the Celtics have been a much better defensive team. And I tweeted this out or something along these lines. The offense has been great, but the defense is starting to catch up, and I think that's why you're seeing this 9-game win streak. And there have obviously been some bad games, defensive games sprinkled in there, OKC being the cream of the crop. That was a rough one. They got scored on way too much. But for the most part, they're doing a better job of keeping teams in front of them, and the rotations have been a lot better. Early in the season, you saw the Celtics miss a lot of rotations. You saw guards blowing by them. I mean, both of those Cav games are your perfect examples. Donovan Mitchell cooked them. Caris LeVert cooked them. Darius Garland cooked them. Their pick-and-roll defense was terrible, but they've started to pick it up in that regard as of late. And interior defense, like Al Horford has been great. I just wrote an article today, or it came out today, about Jason Tatum's defense. He's been their anchor this season. He's been a phenomenal shot blocker. And then Luke Kornet deserves a huge shout-out, too. He's playing great defense down low. Everything is sort of coming together for them lately, and it's good to see. Especially for a team who was such a great defensive team last year. It's nice to see them finally like turning things around on that end.
Yeah, over the last six games, Celtics have a defensive rating of 109. That's seventh in the league.
There you go.
Let's see if we tick it down to five, what it's going to be.
We'll tick it up to seven because the six games didn't include that Pelicans game.
Seven, it was not. It was worse.
Okay, never mind. Don't tick it up to seven.
If you must know. Oh, wait. Am I a moron? I don't know what the hell I was looking at before. It's 108.5 in the last seven.
Yeah, there you go. What is that? That is sixth.
Seven.
In the past. Okay. And then past five games, it's 108.9, which is sixth in the league. I'm on NBA.com. Maybe you're on a different website.
That's what I was on.
Okay. But yeah, they're turning around, and it's good to see. It's good to see.
It's important. It's truly important because when you're in the playoffs and you're playing against a team that's just about as good as you, you can't guarantee that shots are going to fall. What you can guarantee is that you give it your all on the defensive end. And that's the side of the floor I feel like it's most easy to be consistent because you're in control of what you're doing. You can't always control if the shot goes in. Sure, you can be a great shooter and you can shoot the best percentage, but even the best shooters miss like half the time. So there you go. If you're in a playoff game, if you're in a playoff series, usually it's the defensive team that's winning. That's how they got to the finals last season. They were the best defensive team in the league. They had the best defensive rating. Yep. Number one, got them all the way to the finals, and then it stopped happening and they lost.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're totally right. It's good to see the defense finally coming around. Like I said this in a couple podcasts ago, I think they really just had to adjust to Robert Williams not being there. Because they have different pieces and they had to play a different style of defense. They couldn't just funnel everything to Rob. They couldn't just let guys go and let them block it at the rim. They weren't playing as big because they have multiple guards. And they kind of fixed that. I think, honestly, not that Derek White's a bad defender, but I think they were able to start mitigating some of the defensive mishaps when they put Grant Williams out there because they could play a little bit bigger, stick him on guards because he's more I'd rather have Grant guarding a guard than Derek White guarding a center, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we talked about this on the pregame a bit today. So if you guys were there listening, then it's redundant. Sorry. But it seems like this season, teams have targeted Derek White in switches because the Celtics still do that. They switch everything, or at least try to. And they try and get him matched up against a bigger player, whether it's a wing or a center. And they take him in the post, and he really can't do much about it. Marcus Smart, it's a different story. He kind of guards one through five with the best of them, if not the best, throughout the league. Derek White is just kind of smaller in terms of muscle. He's taller than Marcus.
Yeah, guard versus
he's a guard. He's still a good defender, still plays good defense. Same with Brogdon. But those guys mm-hmm. aren't going to cover, I don't know, a Giannis. You can't, and it's not that Marcus is shutting down Giannis, but if you have him on him, you can count on him to get a stop every once in a while.
Yes. Yes. I mean, get him to pass. You've seen big men target Derek White. Like I said, Vucevic, Joker did it. Valanciunas did it a couple times.
They used to try and do that to Smart. They don't do it anymore. They don't post up Smart because it doesn't work.
They know. They know. Speaking of the pregame too, my pregame pick, Grant Williams, hit tonight. I know you have some nice things to say about our friends at Smash Odds if you'd like to take over.
Yeah. If you guys are bettors, you're going to want to follow Smash the Odds on Twitter at Smash Odds. They give out daily free picks. And if you're really a hardcore gambler, you can pay for the premium service, get those premium picks for a monthly charge. Or if you just want them for the day, you can do that too. Saturday, Sunday for the football slates, you can sign up. They have a Discord. They'll put you in. You pay them and you get paid out. Follow them at Smash the Odds on Twitter. On our pregame show this year, they give us a pick every show. 8-4 so far on the days we've had picks from them. Good record. Me, my record's not so good. Jack, probably better than me.
I think I've only missed on one. And I remember being mad because it was, I forget which game it was.
I had the over and it lost by 2 points.
Yeah. I had the over on a game as well. It was, I forget which one it was. Because I remember I missed it by half. I missed the over by like, it was like 127 and a half. And it came out to, oh yeah, it was the Atlanta game. I think, or 227. I remember it, whatever it was. I guess like over 227. I remember they were really banged up. So maybe it was the Pistons game. I think it was. And I had over 225 and a half, and it finished at 225. And so I was not happy that I missed. But yeah.
Yeah. But make sure you follow them. If you sign up, tell them the two handsome guys talking about the Celtics sent you. We will appreciate that very much.
Please do. How about them Celtics?
How about them Celtics? Know. We're here. And I got to tell you, the worst beat definitely had to come from Devin from Smash the Odds. We went to the game against the Nuggets. He had Jaylen Brown over points. Brown had one of those big first quarters. Might have had 14 points, and he missed it by 1 point. And in the fourth quarter, Tatum and Brown are on a fast break. Tatum does a behind-the-back dribble fake pass to Brown and takes it himself. And then they get subbed out.
Brutal.
Horrifying brutal. Scenes in the balcony.
Not fun at all. I remember my friend Danny, who you'll remember if you're a very early listener to this show. He was betting soccer once, and it was a tie game or something. And so he just like, I forget what it was exactly. I don't know if he bet the over or a team to win, but they won in, or maybe there was something along the lines of they won in overtime or extra time, but since they didn't win in regulation, he didn't win the bet.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's ridiculous.
You bet 90 minutes because you can bet win, loss, draw.
That's awful. So he was very upset. He was very pissed. Anyways, circling back, get back around to the Celtics. We have to talk about Derek White because that is the story. That is, I mean, if you watch the Pelicans game, you know, I think he was good in the Hawks game too, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, he had a good game.
16 points, 5 rebounds, 10 assists against the Hawks on a night where Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon weren't available. Then he followed that up with a season high, I think, 26-point performance against the Pelicans. He's shooting insanely well from three. I'm going to look at his recent numbers just because I'm curious to see how well he's been playing over the past 5 games or so. Over the past 5 games, Derek White is averaging, let's see, 16 points. 2.6 rebounds, 4.8 assists, 1.2 steals, 1.2 blocks, shooting 49% from the field and 48% from three. He's been on a burner, played extremely well in the Celtics last 2 games, and he was, I think, the main reason they won against this Pelicans team. He's been on fire, everything you would have wanted from him this season and more.
Yeah, him becoming or getting back to being a better shooter is huge for this team. Last season in the playoffs, he wasn't super reliable from beyond the arc. Before he got to the Celtics, throughout his career, we talked about this, Jack, at the trade deadline. You pointed this out. He traditionally shot up towards 40% from three. I don't remember what it was exactly.
It wasn't even that.
Was it more than that?
No, it was worse. He shot like 36% before that. Like, he shot...
For his career?
Yeah, 34, 36, 35 in his first... Like, okay. I mean, he shot 60% his first season, but that was on 0.8 per game in 17 games, so I don't count that. But, like, he was, like, a 35% shooter consistently, struggled the season the Celtics traded for him, and now he's a 40% shooter. Like, it's insane.
We heard on Twitter, saw the reports that he'd been working on his jumper all offseason. We're seeing it with our own eyes now. He looks super confident. He's taking jumpers with guys in front of him. He's got a quick release. He wasn't even hitting the rim tonight. He was just going straight through. There was a play where he was in the corner, and I believe Tatum hit him with a pass. Wasn't super accurate. Fumbled the pass. Just picked it up and shot over the guy and made it.
He's got such a quick release this season. That's the biggest thing.
He's got a quick release, and he's made big shots for this team. We talked about this earlier, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
We had the game against Chicago at the Garden where he made a big three to ice it. And then you had Monday against OKC.
Yes.
Another big one.
I was thinking at the same time. I couldn't remember.
I was like, are we both brain dead or just me?
Yes. No, both. 100%. But yeah, no, Derek White's been everything for this Celtics team this season. He's, as crazy as it sounds, they're kind of third string guard, which is insane considering how well he's been playing. He is absolutely a starting caliber player, just like Malcolm Brogdon, but he is coming off the bench for Marcus Smart and probably behind Brogdon in the rotation as well, although he kind of plays more two guard now. I mean, he can play two guard now that he's shooting so well. And all I'm saying is I told you so, because I remember at the trade deadline last year, you were very upset they gave up Richardson, who was playing well.
I was.
Jay Rich was playing good. But
he was the one shooting upwards of 40% from three.
He's still, yeah. Yeah,
he's a good player. He still would be a good fit on this team. They just can't get him because they traded him to the Spurs, and he has to go to another team before they get him back.
He plays good defense.
He hustles. He can shoot the three. He can create for himself. I was a big fan of Richardson.
I think they could trade for him because it's been.
I don't know what the rules are.
I think it has to be a new league season, if I'm not mistaken, because the rule with Gallinari is, since right now it's still technically the same league season. Yeah. But they can't trade for him anyways because they don't have the money to match his contract. Like,
they have TPEs.
Not enough for Richardson.
They don't have enough.
The biggest TPE they have is like 6 months.
Well, that's where all the fun stops. Once you start saying things that need to be abbreviated, that's when it's not fun anymore. Like TPE, what is that, traded player exception?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look at that. I know stuff. But that's when we stop having fun on the show.
Sure.
I had so little fun talking about TPEs because, one, it never ended up happening. Two, the players we would mention were never, like, appealing. The most appealing person we ever, like, thought about fitting into a TPE was Duncan Robinson, who for a time was a really great fit in terms of the team needing shooting. He could shoot, and he's fallen off a cliff. He's not even playing for Miami, really.
No, not getting a lot of run for them.
I mean, that was a disaster. That when we were clinging on to TPs as a podcast, trying to figure out things to talk about,
brutal.
Some of the things we've had to talk about on the show. We had to talk about what the players were eating in the bubble.
I knew that's what you were going to say.
When COVID was happening, because in fairness to us, there was literally nothing happening.
We were scraping at straws.
It was like people have left the house.
We went on a hiatus during that time, too.
Of course we did. What were we going to talk about? You can't talk about anything.
Let me look. How long was our hiatus during that time?
3 months?
I don't think it was that bad. I think we came back in May, and I think we dipped out in March. So is that 3 months? March?
Two
months. Let me see. We stopped doing a pod in March 23rd. We did one, and then May 15th was the next one.
Okay.
And yeah, that's about it. I remember the podcast you're talking about, though. It was like food in the bubble or something like that.
It was a disaster. Like, talking about.
Not great.
Speaking of COVID, Tatum's playing like he has COVID. Am I right, fellas?
What a transition from Sam here. Jason Tatum has been struggling in the scoring column.
Kind of.
In the scoring column.
Yeah.
He hasn't been shooting the ball well. over these past two games. He shot 6 of 19 and 3 of 10 against the Hawks. Celtics still won. And against the Pelicans, he shot 6 of 18. Wait. Yeah, he shot 6 of 19 and 3 of 10 against the Hawks and 6 of 18 and 2 of 10 against the Pelicans. I thought I was reading the same stat line, but he just shot almost exactly the same. But 19 points against the Pels, 18 against the Hawks. The plus side, 7 rebounds, 8 assists against the Hawks. 7 rebounds, 10 assists against the Pelicans. So unlike Jaylen Brown, who I've probably picked on enough for this podcast, Jason Tatum is contributing in other areas while also not turning the ball over. I mean, he had 3 against the Pelicans, which isn't great, and 2 against the Hawks. Both of those numbers are like pretty normal for a guy with the ball in his hands as much. And again, I don't want to pick on Jaylen Brown. I like Jaylen Brown. I do. He's great. He's been great this season. Jason Tatum, though, doing a lot of things in other areas, and a big reason behind the Celtics' success, even with him struggling, is the role players. But I'm not worried about Jason Tatum shooting like this. It's just a slump, I think.
I'll tell you what, this is a testament to how much Tatum has grown as a player over the past year or so.
Absolutely.
Because last season we were having these same conversations, because it is November and traditionally Tatum plays poorly at the beginning of the season. This season that has not been the case until now. Last season the team was losing games when he was playing poorly. This season, they are winning games when he is playing poorly, also a testament to the other players in the team. However, he is finding ways to impact the game besides scoring if he's not able to score. And he's also getting to the free throw line at a higher clip this year, which makes him more effective. It's great that he's setting up his teammates with assists. He had a double-double tonight, if I'm not wrong, right?
Yeah.
Did he have a double-double with assists? Good for 19 him.
19 points, 10 assists.
Last season, the first kind of little glimpse we got at him impacting the game without scoring was rebounding. He would really hit the glass hard. It was a team that struggled to rebound. He was like, all right, if I'm not scoring, I'm going to go get the ball. Today, he's creating for other teammates. He's like, okay, it's not working for me. I'm still going to throw up 10 threes. However, I'm going to take advantage of how much attention the defense play. Can we speak English, Sam?
Let's go.
I've been up for, I don't know, what is it, 18 hours? I don't know. It's not that much when I say it out loud. When the defense pays attention to him, he takes advantage of it and finds his teammates. We got it out. All right. I'm done talking before I start slurring my words again, dude.
There you go. Got it out. Yeah, no, Tatum's been great. You saw glimpses of him taking over as a playmaker late in the season last year. He's actually averaging less assists this year than he did last year, but you can see the numbers starting to ramp up as he – and. A big part of that is because he wasn't missing early in the season. Like, he's on fire.
But now that shots, I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
As long as you're not hurting the team. Like,
well, actually, that kind of contradicts something I remember you saying a year ago. You said, I don't think it would be good if Jason Tatum averaged 30 points. I vividly remember you making that argument.
The reason I said that is because if he's averaging 30 points, that means everyone else is not doing things. He's averaging 30 points now, and the team is a wagon. Jaylen Brown's also averaging like 25, 26 points a game. You've got other guys, Derek White scoring 26 points on a given night, Al Horford going off on a given night, Marcus Smart putting up double-doubles. You've got off the bench Hauser coming in and scoring 24 points against the Knicks. Or no, it was whoever they played after the Knicks. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Nuggets.
I was so tired.
Nuggets.
No, it wasn't the Nuggets because it was the Pistons.
He dropped a career high against the Nuggets, though, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
I was there.
I was there. He didn't. I'm telling you right now, he didn't.
Nah. We got to settle this.
Do it. Look it up. I'm telling you right now, you're wrong.
Was it against the Pistons? Shoot. No, now I'm going to look like an idiot when I'm wrong. Shit. Let's look at Hauser box scores. Most points of the season, 24. Yeah, against the Pistons. God damn it. I was there for back-to-back games. I got them confused. Give me a break, guys.
See, I only went to one. Well, I went to two, but they were a week apart.
He did drop a career high against the Knicks, but it was broken in the Pistons game.
Yeah, so you were like correct. Twice in a week.
Twice. Yes. And then he had 15 against the Hawks. And then 6 against the Pelicans. We can talk about Sam Hauser briefly now, too. Except not his offense. No, let's talk about his defense, though.
Yes.
I mean, cooled off. He shot, what did he shoot against the, he shot 2 of 5. That's normal. His defense, though, teams are consistently picking on Sam Hauser. The Pelicans did it a ton.
Comical.
I remember, what did you say?
It's comical, dude. It's funny. So funny, and because they're not learning.
I know. And I remember at one
guarding
point,
well. He's guarding guys that should well. Be scoring on him. Who was it tonight? He made him fall. It was it Ingram? Alvarado was trying to drive on him, and he just
maybe,
like,
I
lost
remember
his balance.
Brandon Ingram had the ball. Ingram had the ball, and he gave it up to Alvarado so he could, quote unquote, pick on a mismatch and try to score on Hauser. I don't really know what their plan is. Hauser's been guarding very well, and I don't know if it stayed the case this season, but I know before the game they were hyping up the stat. He has the best plus minus in the NBA by like a long shot, which is crazy. So yeah, he's been incredible. I'll check that now. Who is the best plus minus in the NBA? I have to guess it's let's do total plus minus, not per game.
I would guess reason why his is so high is because whichever star he's playing with has it so much easier because of how lethal he is.
Yeah. He still leads the league in plus minus with a 119. And speaking of a star who has it much easier, Jason Tatum is third with 111. So yeah. they talked about it before the game. Tatum goes, yeah, his plus minus is 119 because he's always playing with me, which is.
Do you buy plus minus? I forget. Some people don't.
What do you mean?
Like, do you care for it? Do you think it's meaningful?
I don't think in the context of one game it's very meaningful, but I think over the course of a season it's a pretty good indicator of, because like if you're talking about over one game, like Marcus Smart could be out on the floor, Jason Tatum can shoot 1 of 10 in that time and the Celtics lose and Marcus Smart had nothing to do with it. But like if you extrapolate that over the course of an entire 82 game season, like that's not going to happen to you every game. Things will regress to the mean, and I think your value can be, it's not the perfect stat, there are definitely better ones, but like I think it's a pretty good indicator. That's why like everyone says, oh, offensive and defensive rating are a team stat, not a player stat. I agree. But like over the course of a season, if a player's defensive rating is good, probably means the team's defense is better when they're on the floor. Do you know what I'm saying? So like not in small quantities, but like over that's 16 games, Sam Hauser has the best plus minus in the league. Guys next to him, Jokic, Tatum, Mikal Bridges, Derek White, Kevin Love, Devin Booker, like, it's not like, and I mean, Grayson Allen's the next one, Dean Wade, Drew Holiday, Dylan Brooks. Like, it's not like there's a bunch of bums, right? Like, it is either a star or a good role player who helps his team be better on the floor. So
I think that's a good explanation.
That's what I take away from it, at least. So I can't mean anything bad. It doesn't necessarily have to be the end all be all, but at the very least, it means like he's doing something pretty good while he's out there. Like, I mean, you can look at last year's plus minuses for a perfect example. Like, total plus minus last season, the leader was Tatum with plus 667. Then Mikal Bridges, because he played in all 82 games and the Suns were a wagon. I'm going to steal that term now because you said it and I thought it was funny. Steph Curry, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Jaylen Brown, Jokic, Marcus Smart. Like, the top guys have the top plus minuses because their teams win when they are on the floor. Like, that is how it works. So Sam Hauser leading this early in the season, will it stay that way? I doubt it, because he's probably not going to play as many minutes as other guys. But I think that's what makes it even more impressive too. Like, he's playing fewer minutes, but his plus minus is still that much higher than everybody else's. That means the Celtics are outscoring opponents by a lot while he is on the floor. So
yeah,
it's great.
Again,
it's
he just really makes it, he makes defenses scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
That man strikes fear into the heart of opposing teams. When he steps on the floor, he takes the warm up off, takes off the sweatpants, jogs out there and stands in the corner. Wouldn't you be intimidated?
Yeah, it's like what we said. It's like what we said with Duncan Robinson a while ago. It's the gravity. It's just it's a shooter's gravity. He just has to be out there. And I know Duncan Robinson's lost some of that, but like even now, like I'm not going to leave him unguarded, right? Like he's still a good shooter. Like he's not having a good season. He struggled for a while, but I'm not going to just leave Duncan Robinson open
moved?
In the corner. Does he get traded?
Yeah. Where?
I think so. Either Phoenix or like Sacramento or I'm trying to think of it. They just need a power forward. They don't have a four, right? Like they just need extra wing depth, I think.
So for like Sabonis,
you look at Harrison Barnes, Jay Crowder. I mean, how desperate do you want to get? Would they do like, I guess they don't have another contract. I was going to say, do they do like Duncan Robinson and something else for Tobias Harris, but I don't even think they could match that money.
Yeah.
All these teams, they're just trying to shake it up.
Look at the Celtics.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing. They're saying, oh, we're not as good as them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Celtics, we were saying this before we got on. Celtics are, it's early in the season, but they are 1.5 game above the Bucks. They have 81.83 win percentage. The Bucks are there, but those are the only two teams above a 70% win percentage. Like Blazers and Jazz and Grizzlies, 10-5, 11-6, 10-6. Like there's a bunch of parity around the league in terms of like the gap between the 3 seed and the 9 seed in the East is one game. The gap between the 1 seed and the 9 seed in the West is 1.5 games. The gap between the Celtics and the 3 seed is 3.5. There's and plenty of time. I know.
And they've played 16 games.
I know. I was just going to say there's plenty of time for them to blow it. There's plenty, knock on wood. There's plenty of time.
No, I'm saying it's impressive that they're up that big already.
Oh yes, it's crazy. They're like slowly.
I agree going with to like they're the team. A lot of season left, but
yeah,
my, yeah, one and a half games of Milwaukee.
What's the word?
Wagon.
They're a wagon.
Wagon. You ever have wagon wheels like the pasta?
No.
Very good for mac and cheese. I gotta tell you, the cheese gets stuck wagon in the little spokes of the wheel.
I have had those. I just didn't know that they were called. That's fire.
What did you call them?
I don't know. I haven't had them in a long
pie
time.
Pie charts?
No, I didn't have a name for them. But I've had stuff similar to that. They remind me of like the shaped mac and cheese, like the Kraft shapes,
yeah,
which were infinitely better than this normal penne, not penne, whatever the fuck they are.
Little macaronis, yeah.
That's the word. Macaroni.
Whatever it is. Elbows.
Yes. No, very good. Very fire. Only other thing I did want to mention, we don't have to go in depth. Al Horford looks phenomenal. I mean, shout out the man. He was 4-for-4 from three in the first quarter. Against the Pelicans, he finished with 18 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. Against the Hawks, I'm pretty sure he had a good game as well. He put up, I lied, he had 7 points, but he did have 11 boards and 4 assists. A few games ago, he set a career high for threes, 6 threes. It was the Nuggets or the Pistons game. Clearly, I can't differentiate the two, but it was one of those two because I remember I was there. He looks great. He looks like he's like 26 again, and he's 36, so it's great.
He's really adapting to his age. He's adapting to today's game, and he's doing it well. And he's still hitting the glass. Those rebound totals are impressive. This is a guy, when he was an all-star here in his first stint, was averaging like maybe 7 a game, maybe.
Points
he was
or
like
rebounds?
15-7, 15-6 maybe. If I'm not wrong, he was not the guy crashing the boards.
He averaged 14 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. And then his lone all-star season in Boston, he averaged 13.5, and 4.7. Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go.
Him hitting the glass like this is something you should be excited about. It's going to be even better for the team when Rob comes back because you're not going to be giving up offensive rebounds as much. At least you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Which to me is a killer thing. I just hate that.
It's been a lot better lately.
It has been.
And they've actually been crashing the offensive glass. I know you tweeted about that.
Yeah, they were awesome today on the offensive glass. I was like, this is fantastic being on the other end of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Watch the other team get drained, demoralized. They're getting frustrated. That's what was happening all throughout the playoffs last year, and they made the finals. Imagine if they just like weren't terrible.
I know. We don't have to talk about the finals anymore, though. That's a dark time we don't have to go back to. But the only thing. Oh, I was going to say this first. Al Horford also talked about it, how it was somewhat difficult, but he's starting to adapt to being a shooter rather than like a post player. Like, and he has been in the post and getting down there a little bit.
Not
later,
as consistent
like,
from the post.
No, but he's focusing on threes a lot this season, which I know you might not love, but he's averaging 4.5
if he
this
makes
year.
Them, I don't care.
Yeah, he's shooting 44% from deep this year, which is...
I really just want the creators to drive. I don't like when the possessions don't have a drive in them because it feels like you're settling. Especially when it's early. I understand the emphasis might be early offense, which is fine. But when you're on the wrong end of a run, sometimes you need to slow down and make sure you get a good look. And I feel like that doesn't happen very often. That's why we've seen them let teams back into games. It feels like every time they get a lead. The three games they've lost, Grandy brings it up every time he does the call. they were up by 12 or more, and they blew all blew yeah. leads in all of them.
Yeah, only lost in regulation once though. Yeah, how's that for you? The only thing I will say that's, I don't want to say concerning, but something to monitor. He is playing Al Horford more minutes per game than he was last year, which make is sure not he's something.
Whip him into shape there.
Not something you expected, but Joe Mazzulla did talk about it, saying he's in shape, he is good to go, and we plan on playing him like that. Like, he seems fine, which is good. But well, it's
also
just
not
like,
for nothing. Of course, he's playing more minutes. Rob's out.
Sure,
they're like, this is not like for you, but like,
and it's only two.
If I was Joe Mazzulla, that's what I would say. Be like, dude, like, Rob's out. What do you want out of me?
It's fair. I'm very good. We don't have to talk about Rob because we touched on him in the pregame and he's still on track. I mean, you had Asherod's reporting saying he's close.
Today's 8 weeks. But... well, yesterday when you listened to this, it was eight weeks since the surgery. So timetable was 8 to 12. You're in the window.
I'm still betting early January, but if it's sooner, it's
I don't care. Chelsea. Doesn't matter to me. They keep and winning. Why? I really don't care.
Because the Celtics are a wagon. I love that word. That made me laugh.
They're wagon. Funny. They get out of the way. They get the horses pulling the wagon.
Yes, sir.
They've got Joe sitting in the wagon and Wick and Gorman calling half the games.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I like Randy, though. Oh, I was going to say, bro, maybe this isn't like you won't love this, but Al Horford seems like he's kind of following the Brook Lopez trajectory right now. Like, he's in the post a lot less. And it's more
isn't
gradual.
Brook
obviously.
Lopez having a monster year? Yeah, every time I'm online, I see like stat lines from him that it's like 20 points, 9 rebounds, 4 blocks.
Yeah, he's averaging 16.4 points, 6.2 rebounds, and 2.5 blocks a game on 50% shooting from the field and 39% shooting.
You know, one of my bosses at my new job was like talking to me about basketball a little bit. She was like saying her husband is from New Jersey and she would watch the Nets with him. She was like, I really like used to like Brook Lopez. And I was just like,
yeah,
that's such a random like guy.
Well, not.
No, he's it is.
He's the all-time leading scorer in Nets.
He was. He was. But like, but Brooke Lopez, it was just such a fun. Hello? It was so random to me.
You froze for a sec. I didn't hear something.
I know.
Welcome back.
I just started
no, yeah. I mean, he was the only star they had for a while. So, you take what you can get. He was an all-star in Brooklyn. Averaged 20 points a bunch of times. He was good, and he's better. He's phenomenal now again. So, shout out Brooke Lopez. But, anyways, I think that covers everything I want to talk about. Anything else you had before we get on out of here?
No, I sure would like to go to bed.
There you go. Well, we'll let Sam get to bed.
We do it for all of you. All six.
Yes, all for you. And again, shout out to Wilson for helping me with my ear. Before we go, we're experimenting. If you're not watching the pregames, get over to watch the pregames.
I forgot.
It's on
about this.
What, the Discord?
I already forgot about it.
It's fine. It's on the YouTube channel. Check out the pregames because we'll talk about it more there because there's more regulars there and we don't really have a direct way with connecting with you guys yet, but we're going to look into, I think I already have started it, but we're going to start getting up and going Discord just in case Twitter crashes and burns. How about them Celtics Discord for us to chat? You guys can throw questions and topics for podcasts in there. We'll put a live game channel in there for us to text, a live game voice channel if any of you guys want to come together and watch the game. Maybe we'll drop in from time to time. General chat, podcast chat, where we'll drop our podcast. You'll have the links there so you can always see when we drop a new show, the shorts and everything like that. So yeah, it should be like, we'll try to create a community there, Celtics community, get together, watch the games, or at least, you know, talk about the games while we're watching the games. And yeah, so check out the pregames because we'll plug it more there where we have some regulars who we can directly chat with and connect to. But yeah, it should just be how about them Celtics on Discord. I know we'll have to create a link and those will be pasted below the YouTube videos and the podcast. So we'll find a link for you, but just keep that in your back of your minds. We're going to try to create that. And so Sam can sleep. I'll let him wrap up the show.
Thank you very much for listening or watching. If you're watching, you're on YouTube, perhaps on Guy Boston Sports, perhaps on How About Them Celtics pod. Regardless, leave a like, a comment, subscribe. We're really trying to raise that number up towards 1,000 on our channel. It's getting there. A lot of work being done over the last month or so. Jack and I were talking about it. Good production from the fans.
We appreciate it.
Keep working hard. Good minutes. if you're listening and you're not on those, if you're on whatever streaming service, that's great. Follow us. Make sure you get all the latest pods. Leave a nice comment, nice review. If you don't do that, you can get the pods at How About Them C's on Twitter. Jack will tweet them from there. It's also Instagram, TikTok, How About Them C's. You can get the shorts there, the short clips. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll have some from today. Don't know what they'll be just yet. You can follow Jack on Twitter. He's doing all kinds of stuff, writing. He's got his own pod, Simone NBA Show for Heavy. Mm-hmm. It's all there at Jack Simone NBA. And I'm doing all that, but less at Sam LaFrance NBA. That's it for us. Bye.
Tacos having some fun here.
It is bogus! These guys are ridiculous!